Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Crypto Market Rundown, where we talk about everything that's happening in the great world of cryptocurrency, from the fundamentals in the news to the technicals on the charts. We spend the time doing hours of research so that you all don't have to. And man, the crypto market is back. We are ripping. It doesn't matter if it's Bitcoin and Ethereum and the other large caps. It doesn't matter if it's the altcoins and the mid caps. It doesn't even matter if it's the micro coins and the really, really small market caps. The entire crypto sector is ripping. And man, it looks like a bottom is in. We have so much to talk about in this episode, especially when it comes to the news side. And everyone's big question here is Bitcoin kind of bottoming out? You know, has it bottomed? Where can we go from here? And what were the catalysts that caused this thing in the first place? And so that's what we want to talk about in this market rundown here today. It's just not only like what acted as this bottom point for Bitcoin and a lot of altcoins as well, but also what we think on the matter and where we think the crypto industry can go here. And, you know, TiVo, I want to introduce you as well, but real quick before we do that, you know, this is something that we talk about every week. You know, we're here week in and week out. It doesn't matter if the markets are going down. It doesn't matter if the markets are ripping like they are this week. We are here every single week, making sure that everyone is staying up to date on what's happening.
Absolutely. And if you go back to literally last week's episode, we were breaking down, I think you said Bitcoin broke, and it broke over the 4th of July weekend. You know, everybody was trying to enjoy themselves, and we had that kind of, you know, what you might think or what we hope is that last kind of capitulation downward before the movement. But I'll point this out. So last week, you know, I always try to be positive. Last week's rundown episode, even though it covered the downward price movement over the weekend, we titled it Bitcoin's Hidden Technicals, Bullish Divergence. And you were showing us on the charts last week that there was some bullish divergence. And then so technically, we were kind of at a point where like, okay, we broke our range. You know, is this a confirmed new downtrend, or are we going to pop right back up? And so technically, we could have went either way. But then on top of that, we're going to go over the technicals right now. And then on top of that, obviously, over this weekend, it was a wild weekend in the news flow. And you might think that, you know, an assassination attempt on a presidential candidate doesn't have an effect on Bitcoin, but you'd actually be wrong in this case, which is a fascinating thing that we're going to discuss later in the episode. But, you know, I think we need to stick to our roots of what we are as a podcast in the show. Is every week we're here, you know, good moves, bad moves in the crypto market, you show us the way. So I think we should start that way, and then we'll kind of break down the news on the back end if people are interested on kind of why we think, you know, in our own opinions, why this happened.
Yeah, you know, let's go ahead and do it. And so, you know, like TiVo said, we like to look at the charts, but we also like to take a look at the news. And I think this time around, both of these are going to be equally as important. I don't think it's just the fundamentals or just the technicals here. I think it's kind of the perfect storm that's brewing that is setting crypto up for new highs. And, you know, I kind of spoiled my take and my viewpoint here, but I think that's what crypto is seriously preparing for. And it's really, really starting to look strong. You know, we've talked with the whole analyst team over here, and we all feel the same way. We really like the bottom that the crypto market has just formed, and it makes me want to be a little bit more risk on in my approach, even with altcoins, which is a crazy thing to say, because I've always been, at least for the past couple months, I've been like, oh, I want to remove risk. I want to be more safe. I want to be in things like Bitcoin and Ethereum and maybe Solana. And now I'm looking across the board saying, man, I actually want to start layering in back into a lot of these altcoins. I think that we have some solid market structure here. And so let's just go ahead and kind of look at the technicals first. Let's just go ahead and look at what's happening over here with Bitcoin specifically, because what we're essentially seeing is what very well could be the bottom before we see new all-time highs. So I'm going to throw up the chart here. Quick reminder that if you are listening in on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or Audible or anything like that, and you want to get all of the visuals, all the charts and the news articles and everything else that we're going to be throwing on the screen, you need to make sure that you go over to our YouTube channel, which is the Crypto 101 Podcast on YouTube. And that's where you're going to have all the visuals that we're going to be referencing inside today's episode.
Have you ever wanted to trade Bitcoin but haven't dared tried? With Plus 500 Futures, you can trade crypto without the hassle of opening a wallet. With just a few clicks, you can register and start practicing with their free and unlimited demo. See a trading opportunity? You'll be able to trade in just two clicks. Feel ready? You can move to real money with as little as $100 once your account is approved. And the great thing is that in addition to crypto, Plus 500 gives you access to a wide range of instruments like the S&P 500, NASDAQ, gas, and much more. Explore equity indices like energy, metals, Forex, and beyond. With a simple and intuitive platform, you can trade anytime, anywhere. Experience the fast, accessible futures trading you've been waiting for with Plus 500. With over 20 years of experience, Plus 500 is your gateway to the markets. Visit us.plus500.com to learn more. Trading in futures involves risk of loss and is not suitable for everyone. Not all applicants will qualify, and this is not personal financial advice. Plus 500, it's trading with a plus.
So here we have the Bitcoin chart, right? It found a really nice bottom around 53K. And this was the area that we were saying, Tivo, hey, there's hidden bullish divergence down here. Now, for people that are listening that aren't super familiar with technical analysis, they're probably going, what in the world is a hidden bullish divergence? Essentially, it's despite prices falling to new lows, the bears are getting weaker. So the bears are actually getting weaker. The sellers are getting weaker for pushing price down to new lows. So at face value, people look at it and they go, oh, Bitcoin broke support. It fell to new lows. This has to be a bad thing. When in reality, they essentially used all the gas in their tank to get them to this new low, and they have no more gas. And the bulls are here with the whole, you know, gas tank ready to keep on going. And so the bears ran out of gas, the sellers are exhausted, and the bulls called the bluff of false strength. And now we're seeing the bulls just take back control of this market, and they're buying this thing up. So Bitcoin kind of came down over here to this previous top or this previous consolidation zone. Granted, it was a really small one, but it kind of came up down to the previous top of this one where there was resistance, and it turned this into a newfound support level. And for a moment, it was scary because we were looking at this and saying, hey, Bitcoin broke down below the 200-day moving average. It broke down to this new low. But we talked about and we referenced how this time last year, we saw a very similar thing happen where Bitcoin had months of consolidation, a breakdown of the 200-day moving average. And this was right before it went on this monumental rally to the upside, going all the way up to a new all-time high. And this time around, it doesn't have to be that different. And so we've seen a really strong rally here from Bitcoin just in about the last, you know, week and a half, almost 2 weeks now. Bitcoin's up about 22%. We're seeing Ethereum over the same time period is up about 23%. So Ethereum is still outperforming Bitcoin. We have Bitcoin dominance, which is kind of just hovering. Ethereum dominance, which is holding strong. And then we have Solana, another key player that we like to talk about over here, which is up about 34% in the last week and a half, just under a two-week period. And another one that stood out to me here, Tivo, was Maker. This thing has been flying alongside a couple other cryptos like Pepe and Radium and some other ones. But this thing has just been going. It's one that we've talked about a little bit in the past, but in the last 12 days, it's up 47%. And the cool thing here is that there's a lot of other cryptos just like this that are rebounding. They were oversold. Another one that comes to my mind was Aerodrome. This thing is up about 146% in the last 12 days. And so there's a lot of opportunity with where the crypto market is at right now. Again, if we had just bottomed out and some of these cryptos are able to be up 30, 40, 50, 150% in a less than a two-week period, well, if this is the bottom, it makes you think, where are these cryptos going to be at in a month from now, you know, 4 months from now, a year from now? And that's kind of what I want everyone to see, is the bigger picture here. Yeah, we can do a lot in the short term. Maybe we even retrace a little bit in the short term. However, I really like the market structure and the bottom that not only Bitcoin has put in, but also Ethereum and Solana and a lot of these other leaders in the crypto space, which are rebounding really good. So when we're looking at the technicals and we're looking at the charts, I'll tell you what, you know, maybe we do retest around the 60K area on Bitcoin. You know, maybe we do dip a little bit after this great rise, maybe not, you know, maybe we just keep going. But I will say the way that I am looking at this is I am looking to buy the dips here. And I'm really buying the dips with the idea of a lot of these cryptos either retesting their previous highs or even breaking out two new highs. So for Bitcoin, that would be new all-time highs. It's what I'm looking for. I'm looking above 75K. For Ethereum, I'm looking for new cycle highs, potentially even new all-time highs. I think it's on the table for Ethereum to hit new all-time highs, which are closer to $5,000. For Solana, I'm looking for a retest of the current cycle high and then eventually all-time highs of around $200 to $250. These are a lot of bold predictions, but I'm looking at this and saying, hey, if this is the bottom, then I don't think that those are too crazy of statements for us to see before the end of this year, even in the next couple of months. And so I'm a little bit wound up, Tebow. Tebow, if you can't tell, I'm a little riled up with where the crypto market's at, but it's all passion, right? It's all excitement because, again, you know, I put my money where my mouth is. I'm invested in the crypto space, and this is the stuff that makes me excited because if you're listening to this, the odds are you probably have some sort of exposure as well. And so I find enjoyment when these things are appreciating in value and there's so many positive fundamental things happening behind the scenes, which we're going to talk about in just a moment. But I'm gonna hand the baton off here.
No, 100%. And I think that it goes without saying that this is not personal financial advice in any means. You know, we're just two guys talking about crypto, giving some opinions here. But, you know, like you said, we're involved in this with our own money. So, you know, when on the down days we feel it, on the up days we get excited. But just to go over your points, so some of the projects that, you know, technically you like, and again, we have no partnerships with those projects or coins. Like we never take any money for anybody to come on the podcast, but Aerodrome, we had them on in the spring. MakerDAO, we had a podcast with them not 3 weeks ago, aired July 2nd. So, you know, that's why I think our platform is so powerful because, you know, we're not trying to sling projects and technical analysis and all this stuff. You see all over social media all the time. Everybody's giving you tons of projects to go dive into or ape into these meme coins. Like, mm-hmm. We're bringing you guys real projects with real people that are trying to build real things. And, you know, my time here is approaching 2 years, and I've just seen our journey of, you know, during that bear market, we're bringing on these projects and talking to them. And then you look at how they're performing, and, you know, it's fascinating how much crypto alpha, you know, we supply here on this channel. So I think it's kind of ties into us getting excited about the updates, kind of is a testament to us, because if you go back and look at, you know, 2022 and, you know, the 100 episodes we put out, it's like, you know, the price action wasn't there, but the passion was still there for educating and bringing on, you know, these projects.
Yeah. And it's like you said, we're bringing on these projects that now we look at them and we're like, oh, this project's up 30, 40, 50, 100% in the last week or two. And these are projects that we've brought on and we've talked about and we've had relationships with. So we love doing it.
You just said Solana. We had Solana on, Austin Federa. And like, I remember last year we had our promo, you know, for our community. You know, all this stuff is free. We do have paid subscriptions. If you're interested, check us out below. We have links there. But we did like a Freedom Coin promotion last July, and it was Solana. And it was, I don't quote me, but July 4th last year, what was it, like $5 or something?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going back. It was like around July 4th. It was probably around $17, $18.
There you go. That was the 20. That was July 4th of last year. That was the coin that you guys all decided, you know, was the one to buy. So, yeah, it's exciting looking back on the journey of the bear market into this, you know, new bull market.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, now we look at it, it's at 160, even peaked above 200. And the cool thing is that there's going to be a lot more opportunities just like that. Now, it's not going to be any coin. Or it's not going to be every coin, excuse me. Not every coin is going to be a winner. But there are a lot of great projects out there. And we try to bring those to the spotlight. We try to bring it to the forefront for all of you to listen. And one of those recently here, you know, it's a fairly well-known coin. But Ethereum, you know, I've been talking about it. I just think that I truly do believe that there's an opportunity here. Especially around this topic of the Ethereum ETFs, which is essential that we talk about this stuff today. Because people have been asking us, guys, you know, when are these things going to get released? Like, how do we know more information? Like, please talk about this stuff. And we have some breaking news here that it looks like these Ethereum ETFs are going to be coming live as early as next Tuesday, July 23rd. So less than a week from the time that this is going to go out. You know, we're publishing this and doing this on a Wednesday. It looks like in less than a week from today, on July 23rd, which is a Tuesday, we could see the Ethereum ETFs begin trading. It looks like three are already subject to approval by the 23rd. However, they've talked about how they want all of them to go live on the same day. So it looks like, I believe there's seven or eight of them. My idea here is that even though I think only three are completely good to go, the idea here is that they want to get all of them, all seven or eight of them, live at the same time. So we could be seeing, you know, in a best case scenario, we could be seeing all the Ethereum ETFs trading live as early as next Tuesday, July 23rd. And the market is receiving this news accordingly. You know, we look at the Ethereum chart here. Let's throw it up. And what we have is Ethereum just doing really, really well. It's bounced off the lows. It never fell, it never fell to a lower low here. It held the lows really well, prevented itself from falling to any kind of lower price action below its previous range. And now it's back above the 20, or it's back above the 200, and it's retesting the 50-day moving average. And it's back also into its previous consolidation zone over here, hovering right around $3,500. And so Ethereum is recovering quite nice. This is a really sharp move to the upside, which is exactly what you want to see from the buyers. You want to see convincing volume, and you want to see price action rising, because that shows conviction, ultimately. And the cool thing is that we haven't even seen inflows yet. You know, we're expecting around $5 billion in these Ethereum inflows. And I think that's the prediction within maybe like the first month or so. And that makes sense, because that essentially what we're doing and how we're getting this number is analysts have looked at the market cap of Bitcoin and said, hey, the market cap of Bitcoin is about three times the market cap of Ethereum. If Bitcoin saw $15 billion in inflows and we divide that by three, then we get $5 billion. And so that's where people are getting this $5 billion number for the Ethereum inflows. And that could do wonders to the Ethereum price. I had another tweet that I don't have in our show notes, TiVo, but I'm going to bring it up real fast for the audience, because I think it's telling of just exactly what can happen here. Because this is a point that I've brought up a few weeks ago, saying there are so many shorts that are stacked up towards the top of Bitcoin in the low 70,000s, right around 72K, that if we liquidate these, we are going to have billions and billions of dollars, tens of billions of dollars of shorts liquidated, which could cause a massive short squeeze. This is something that I think we talked about literally within the last few weeks. And so sure enough, that remains to be true. At $72,400, Bitcoin has $19 billion worth of shorts that will liquidate. It's a wild amount of money. We saw shorts also not too long ago stacked up to just about twice the point, twice as high as we saw in the peak of the last market cycle during the whole FTX fiasco. And so we're looking at this, and shorts are in such a dangerous position. If Bitcoin breaks out to these new all-time highs, we're going to have tens of billions of dollars of shorts liquidated on Bitcoin alone. If we continue to see inflows on the Bitcoin ETFs, now the Ethereum ETFs, this could do really, really good things for price. So that's my kind of quick thoughts here. Altcoins are looking primed, especially because Ethereum is looking so good. And so when we're looking at a positive impact on both Bitcoin and especially Ethereum, that tends to be a really good setup for the altcoin market, which is why so many of these altcoins are on these really sharp rises recently, even ones that remained a little bit more on the like the lower performance side. But then you have ones that are kind of continuing to be high performers. You have things like Near, you have things like Ondo, you have things like Maker, you have all these other great cryptocurrency projects that are doing really solid off of all this news, which you love to see. So that's catalyst number one, right? We look at the charts, we look at everything that's happening over here, even a little bit of the ETF news when it comes to Ethereum and how soon these things could be getting approved. But then I think the other side of this is the fundamentals, like what in the world is happening. And one of the big ones outside the Ethereum ETFs is everything that's happening in the world of politics. And I mean, there was just a series of super crazy events this weekend, especially with former President Donald Trump, that the crypto markets responded quite well to. So, I mean, I'll pass it off to TiVo here. I feel like I've been dominating the mic, but I mean, it's a crazy time.
Right. Yeah, it's a touchy subject, obviously, politics, and we have discussed it on the show before, but we always preface it in saying, like, hey, we're not trying to bring our personal views into this show. What we're really doing is just, you know, being like, hey, here's what we're hearing on both sides of the political spectrum, you know, whether it's Elizabeth Warren and her anti-crypto army, or, you know, Donald Trump has been anti-crypto in the past and now has, you know, kind of seemed to change his tune. And we got a couple reasons to show that, you know, over the last couple months, specifically with him announcing that not only tweeting about it and talking about it, but, you know, we're going to break down the Bitcoin conference in Nashville that's coming up next week, but he's scheduled to speak there. And so over the weekend, the facts are the facts. There was an assassination attempt on the former president. And if you kind of go look, when news like that breaks, it doesn't really matter who it is. You know, if there's a domestic attack of any kind, you know, the markets kind of get scared, right? And you see a little sell-off. So in that moment, there was a little sell-off. But interestingly enough, as soon as the afternoon and evening went on and the rest of the weekend, when it was confirmed that former President Trump was going to be okay, he got clipped in the ear, which that whole story was wild in general. But as soon as it was shown that he was going to be okay, the markets started to rally. And then if you look at things like Polymarket or Predictit, Trump has been ahead in the polls basically since the debate. It's been pretty solidified. And then this event, the Predictit markets he's running away with it in the Predictit markets, basically. Again, polling says one thing, and you really don't know until all the ballots are counted and cast and, you know, you're sworn in as president. So we don't know. But the market is a future, you know, future discounting or looking mechanism, right? So these markets looked like, in my opinion, and I'd like to get yours, is like, okay, you know, we're starting to price in a pro-Bitcoin president. Like, Bitcoin's on the ballot, which, number one, is fascinating, but it looks like the markets kind of gave you a playbook, like a small sample size over the weekend, along with our bullish divergence, along with the technicals that, you know, hey, this could go either way, but, you know, we thought we might break to the upside. So the momentum was there, kind of set, and then this event seemed to really push us forward from Saturday evening into really last night. You know, what did we kiss, 66K or 65K? So
yeah, 65.
Yeah, 65. So yeah, I think the markets are trying to tell you something, that this might be the playbook if, in fact, Donald Trump can, over the next 100 days, keep this lead in the polls and the predicted markets and actually win. That might be the playbook, that Bitcoin's on the ballot in a positive way for the first time ever.
Yeah, I think you're spot on. People really are starting to price in what a pro-Bitcoin president would look like. And I think that was the other half of the reason for this rip, is that people are saying, hey, he's now very pro-Bitcoin. And now his new VP, I believe it's J.D. Vance, is also very pro-Bitcoin. I think he holds something like $250,000 in Bitcoin alone, not even considering altcoins. Which is quite a lot. So now all of a sudden we have a very pro-Bitcoin president, a very pro-Bitcoin president. Yeah, Tivo's flashing it on the screen here. And their odds of taking office, the odds of putting two very pro-crypto people in the Oval Office just went up. So how does the crypto market respond? Which is something that we've been begging for, might I add, for years now, is get us pro-crypto politicians, get us pro-crypto regulation. Like, we want this stuff to be clear and regulated in a good way. We want the people who care about it and have exposure to it being the ones who regulate it. And right now, it seems like, you know, and we've talked about this before, but there's been a lot of really unfair crypto laws, especially when it comes to like businesses holding Bitcoin and being forced to label it as a liability and having to have a one-to-one cash exposure to offset any kind of crypto holdings and stuff like that, that just has not been right, especially with it being labeled as a liability. So the crypto markets and the masses are looking at this and they're saying, hey, the odds of these pro-crypto candidates just skyrocketed. And so the crypto market is responding in a very positive light because of that. And it's tearing and it's ripping. And I would say the second kind of catalyst here was that crypto was oversold. I mean, when we look at what was happening, the US government was selling some, the German government was selling some, other governments around the world, they're all selling off Bitcoin, and it was creating FUD, and all this stuff was happening while there was hidden bullish divergence. There was essentially like a short squeeze. And all this was happening, and it made it seem like it was a lot worse than it really was. And then, boom, shorts get caught out, and now we're on the tear again. So
yeah, we had Mount Gox too, and then just a lot of FUD. And so Germany sold its last Bitcoin, and since then it's up 13%. I think that could be like a generational type joke, maybe in like, I don't know, next year, 2 years, 5 years, you know, hopefully when Bitcoin is 100,000, 150,000, like Germany, there's going to be some kind of callback to be like, yeah, don't be like Germany, hold on to those bags. I think there's going to be some kind of crypto joke about this Germany sell-off.
There's going to be so many memes about this. So many memes. I think like even in the months to come, it's going to be like, oh, Germany has now lost out on X amount. There's going to be like a website that's dedicated or a Twitter page that's dedicated to counting just how much money Germany has missed out on by selling 100% of their Bitcoin exposure. They've made this mistake in the past. I've seen people talk about how they sold off gold right before like the gold boom around, I think it was like 2008 to 2012. I've seen people talk about that stuff as well.
Yeah, no, it's definitely people have it noted down for sure. No doubt that we'll be circling back on the Germany sell-off. But let's tie a knot here on the political talk. We got two more topics on it. But lastly on JD Vance. So I think the exciting thing is, again, he's been a holder. He has a fair amount of Bitcoin that he personally disclosed. And then we also have something on Trump and the Bitcoin conference. But I think with tying the knot on J.D. Vance, he's speaking tonight, actually, at the the Republican National Convention. So that'll be interesting. I'm going to tune into that, I think, tonight just to see. Maybe, you know, I think it's more of kind of a unity speech probably more than anything. But maybe he'll throw a little Bitcoin in there. Who knows? But I think something I wanted to show the audience that maybe not everybody has seen is there's a video of him at a crypto conference that's kind of been circling around the internet. And I just want you guys to listen to yourself and so you can make your own opinion. He brings up a lot of points that we talk about here on the show. He's anti-Gary Gensler, just like myself. So I'm going to play that clip for you right now. It is about 2 minutes, but I want you guys to hear it. So here it is.
If there's a candidate for worst person, in my view, at least in terms of my substantive disagreements, I'm sure he's like a nice guy, is Gary Gensler. Okay, so Gary Gensler is sort of the complete opposite of my view. And there are two problems that I have with Gary, one of which is that I think he wants to inject politics way too much into the actual business of securities in the United States of America. But in some ways, the more fundamental issue, or at least the most relevant issue for this particular conference is, the approach that Gary has taken to regulating blockchain and crypto seems to be almost the exact opposite of what it should be. And I'm oversimplifying a little bit, but the question the SEC seems to ask in regulating crypto is this a token with utility? And if it's a token with utility, then they seem to want to ban it. And if it's token without utility, they don't seem to care. I almost think we should be the opposite here, right? I worry about financialization. I worry about, frankly, whether a lot of the crypto stuff is fundamentally fake. But if a token actually has utility, that's the sort of thing that, you know, by all means, regulate it. By all means, be careful about, you know, how consumers interact with it. But you don't want to just get rid of this stuff. And here's where I really, really worry about this is a lot of the newest challengers to social media, the social media incumbents of 2024 are going to require some blockchain technology to make their business work. Maybe they'll require a token that supports verification. There are all of these ways in which the companies, when I talk to sort of friends who are still in the VC industry, the companies that are most exciting to them, they're doing actual things in communications in the 21st century, in 2024, I should say, those companies very often rely on high utility tokens to do things like verification. Well, if we're not making it possible to do verification, then we're going to make it really hard to challenge the existing incumbents in the space.
Yeah, so a lot of points there. Obviously, anti-Gary Gensler, but not just anti that. He gave real points of why that he's interested for the technology, interested in the innovation. And yeah, I just think it's so interesting. I think it's cool to have somebody that's younger. You know, he's 39 years old. We're not looking at a 75, 80 year old person. somebody that's interested in the technology, that's researched the technology, that's, you know, pro the technology. And I thought the most interesting thing was he was like, we should be regulating these projects with utility. And he was kind of like almost anti meme coins in a little bit, you know?
Yeah, I like that he made that a point, because so often he's right. We have it backwards. The coins that have no utility, the projects that have no mission, no goal, no business model, they're the ones that are like, okay, you guys can go free and do what you want. And then it's the projects and the companies that are actually trying to do something that are the ones being punished. It feels like it is backwards. Like, why are we punishing the people who want to build a revenue model and that want to build a business and that want to build something that has like some sort of like physical or any kind of like attachment to it, right? Any kind of mission? It doesn't make any sense. So I like that. I mean, it shows that he knows what he's talking about. He is a true crypto enthusiast, because, and you, trust me, you can tell, TiVo, we've both seen it. When there is politicians who get up on the stage and they try to talk about crypto and Bitcoin and blockchain tech, you can tell very easily the people who know what they're talking about and the people that they don't, and the people that don't, because there's a clear like distinction between the two of them. You have people that go up there and they talk about how there's like 1,000 different Bitcoins that exist out there and like stuff like that. Like, they make these comments and you're like, oh man, here we go. But no, he knows what he's talking about. I really like it. And it, the more crypto enthusiasts that we can have in the government, the better for all of us who hold it. So,
yeah, 100%. And a different quick political note, Senator Bob Menendez was convicted of a bribery trial recently. So he's going to get sentenced. And he was bribed in cash and gold bars. And he did have a take on crypto and Bitcoin. And he said Bitcoin was for criminals back in 2017-18 time frame. And yeah, so interesting.
It's ironic. And it makes you wonder. I mean, so many people go, oh, Bitcoin's the method for criminals. And those very same people here, I mean, are taking bribes in cash and gold. I mean, here's the thing. People that want to do illegal things are going to do illegal things, right? And per capita, or like in total amounts, excuse me, the US dollar is used for so many more illegal activities than Bitcoin is. I've seen studies on this. It is wild in terms of sheer dollar amount how much Bitcoin is being used for illegal activities and being laundered as opposed to how much in terms of the US dollar. It is like night and day difference. Bitcoin is a fraction of what, you know, of essentially how much money in terms of the US dollar is being used for illegal activities. So it just goes to show that Bitcoin is not this cyber cash for the dark web like people make it out to be. In fact, most cryptocurrencies, they're trackable. They're open source blockchains. People can see where these transactions go at the end of the day. So that whole narrative, I think, really has fallen off in recent years. I could understand maybe back in like the 2017 era, people were talking about that stuff and it made a lot more sense. Nowadays, you don't really see many people making that argument anymore. And, you know, it's unfortunate. We never want to see any kind of corruption, but it is ironic that the person who said Bitcoin was going to be used for this stuff was doing the exact thing. He was saying that Bitcoin is going to be used for, but he was doing it with gold and the US dollar and not Bitcoin. I think one of the other things that we have to talk about here is who's going to be speaking at this upcoming Bitcoin 2024 conference, because it's a stacked list and it's been interesting to see how this has changed over the years. Because if you remember, like back years ago, we started out with just like a bunch of crypto enthusiasts and then YouTubers and influencers and then maybe some people that were affiliated with companies. And now it's all household names. It's like, it's not like you're having like me, some YouTuber, some influencer who's been in the space for a little while, getting up on stage and talking about this stuff. No. I mean, now the people that are leading the charge on crypto are like Michael Saylor, Donald Trump, Russell Brand, Kathy Wood, RFK, Edward Snowden, Vivek, Ramaswamy. You have all these other people that are just huge. And, you know, yeah, you still have influencers like Altcoin Daily, but he's huge. He's like one of the biggest crypto influencers that are out there. And it's crazy to see how big that this has grown. I mean, crypto is now truly a big political issue. I think I see more politicians talking about crypto as a talking point than I see talking about the national debt. Like, isn't that wild? We have the national like debt and stuff of the country that they're running for, and they're talking about crypto more. And that's, I think, because a lot of them are convinced by it, and they think that it's being kind of mishandled at the moment in its current state of regulation.
Yeah, and the most interesting thing about that list for me, while this is kind of a politically skewed show today, is that you have people on opposite sides of the aisle. Donald Trump, Vivek, clearly a Republican. I wouldn't be surprised if Vivek gets some type of cabinet position inside that administration, because J.D. Vance and Vivek went to Yale together, I believe, and are friends. And then on the other side of the aisle, you have Anthony Scaramucci, is worked for Trump for, what was it, six to seven days, and is now very outspoken anti-Trump. And then, I'm sorry, who else was on that list? RFK. You know, he's running independent, but he definitely skews more, the Democrat side than the Republican side. So I think that's really cool point to put a cherry on top, is that while we are seeing all this political momentum, there are people on both sides of the aisle that are pro this stuff. And I think that's kind of the most exciting thing. And that's what we've hammered home the last couple of weeks, is definitely that 3-month range and then the breakdown. You know, we just kept telling you, dude, there's so much momentum. There's so much momentum, not only in the prices recently in the last year, but in the news. You got to stay up to the news and see, you know, where the pendulum's swinging with this type of stuff when it comes to regulation in this country. And there's just been so much positive news flow that finally the price hopefully seems to be rallying with the momentum of the news.
Completely agree, man. Completely agree. Well, in final note here, we have Larry Fink. He's back in the news talking about crypto again. He's become such a crypto enthusiast, not just for Bitcoin, but also for Ethereum and just the general space as a whole, saying that he was wrong about Bitcoin at first and that it is indeed digital gold. And I think we have a clip attached to this one. Don't we have something like that, Tito?
Yeah, you know, it's another 2-minute plus clip, so we'll watch it. I might trim it down for the audience to play the best of and put in here. But again, yeah, just like you said, it's Larry Fink, the CEO of BlackRock, one of the biggest powerful, you know, investment firms in the world. And this is on national television. So again, the momentum continues. The momentum continues. So listen to this clip.
Now, I know you have been a leader in willing to embrace crypto. You have made it so that people can be in Bitcoin. We hear that you are thinking about Ethereum. These are incredible things. Now, BlackRock is not known as a gunslinger by any means. So you obviously must believe that this maybe is an alternative. Is this an alternative in order to be able, because of a deficit, maybe something long term people should have?
Absolutely. As you know, I was a skeptic.
Yes.
I was a proud skeptic. Yes. And I studied it, learned about it, and I came away saying, okay, you know, my opinion 5 years ago was wrong. Here's my opinion today. This is what I believe in today. I believe the opportunity today. I believe Bitcoin is legitimate. I'm not trying to say there's not misuses like everything else, but it is a legitimate financial instrument that allows you to have maybe uncorrelated, non-correlated type of returns. I believe it is an instrument that you invest in when you're more frightened, though. It is an instrument when you believe that countries are debasing their currency, debasing their currency by excess deficits, and some countries are. I believe we have countries where you're frightened of your everyday existence, and if you have an opportunity to invest in something that is outside your country's control, then you can have more financial control. And so I'm a major believer that there is a role for Bitcoin in portfolios. I believe you're going to see that as one of the asset classes that we all look at. I look at it as digital gold, as I said before, and I do believe there's a real need for everyone to look at it as one alternative to, I would say, the optimism that I have in the world. If you want to hedge hope, Bitcoin is not an instrument for hope unless you're hopeful you're going to make a lot of money on it. But I look at it as a vehicle in which you're expressing your financial acumen in something that you're more frightened of the world. You're more frightened of your existence. And I believe there's a great industrial use for it. And I think a lot of people are missing that.
I couldn't agree more.
I mean, dude, those major points. Number one, he was wrong. And everybody has, I think that's one of the most respectful things that somebody can do of being a leader is admitting that you might have had a different opinion and acknowledging that and being like, hey, I did the homework. I did the research. I've grown. So I thought that was really interesting. The second most interesting part of that clip for me was him talking about inflation and national debt. So he kind of made the difference of like, hey, there's some countries where you're scared for your well-being every single day and Bitcoin has a use there. But he kind of was throwing jabs at the United States and just talk like without saying specifically our debt. He was really giving that off, being like, hey, in some countries debt are a little out of control. And here's a non-correlated asset where you can get returns. And kind of I think his most interesting use of verbiage was this is an asset that you can allocate to hedge against the optimism that I have for the future. So, you know, he still talks about how, you know, BlackRock is investing in projects in the U.S. and around the world. But, you know, this kind of is a hedge against maybe some of the craziness that might ensue with all this debt around the world as well.
Yeah, and he took an approach that I think a lot of crypto investors need to take. He said, listen, I wasn't a fan of something. I studied it. I learned about it. I was unbiased. And then I realized I was wrong. And I flipped my opinion. I think a lot of crypto investors and a lot of just any kind of investor need to have that kind of unbiased, curious approach. Whether it's someone who isn't a fan of an altcoin project, maybe they only like Bitcoin, maybe they only like Ethereum, maybe they only like XRP or something like that. Maybe they only like a meme coin. And they go, I don't want to invest in any of that other stuff. I'm convinced. Well, maybe they need to have the same kind of unbiased approach that the CEO of BlackRock is doing. And trust me, if he could go through the process of saying, I'm curious, I want to learn, and if he can see the value, I promise that anyone else can as well, or anyone else should be able to do that. They should see that the CEO of the largest asset manager on the planet is doing this stuff. And I think that it should pique people's interest to do the same. And let's expand it beyond the horizon of crypto and say, what if someone just hates all crypto? Well, then equally as much, take the literal exact same approach that Larry Fink took and say, hey, just analyze this stuff, look into it. Because I truly do believe that, and Jim Cramer was saying this, he's like, you guys aren't gunslingers at all. You guys aren't pulling the trigger on every little thing. You guys aren't super risky in terms of your approach. You're the opposite. And so if Larry Fink and BlackRock, who's the opposite of this super high risk company, is able to see the value in this stuff, especially for the long term, I think a lot of other people could probably see the value as well. So that's where I stand on the matter, Tivo. There's a lot happening.
Yeah, and it was funny in the beginning. Jim Cramer is like, Bitcoin, Ethereum, this is wonderful stuff. I was just like, that guy's flip-flopped on Bitcoin, Ethereum so much over the last 4 years.
Can we get that clip? I think it was from earlier this year, late last year, where he is like, Bitcoin is dead, blah, 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 blah. And he just goes on like a rant and a tear about Bitcoin. Can we clip that and then clip where he's at now? Maybe not for the podcast, but maybe just for social media. You know, if you're following us on Twitter, you'll get something. But there's just been too many moments where Jim Cramer has been like super anti-Bitcoin, then super pro-Bitcoin, and then just back and forth. And I don't know. I'd love to see the clip side by side, but
we'll try
time will certainly
it,
tell. If you want to, if you want to follow all that, and maybe you want to see those funny clips of Jim being caught red-handed, like a deer in headlights, then follow us on Twitter. You can check us out. Again, we got tons of great content on Twitter. We are at Crypto101Pod. And then also you can check us out on YouTube, which is the Crypto101 podcast as well. But we like to make sure that we keep everyone up to date and informed on everything that's happening in the great world of crypto. So if you want to keep coming back and you want to stay tuned on everything that's happening from the technicals on the charts to the fundamentals in the news, we believe, maybe we're a little bit biased here, Tivo, but we believe that this is going to be your number one place to do it. all in under an hour. So thank you all for watching. If you did, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button, leave us a review. And until next time, we're going to see all of you at the same time, same place next week.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.